The National Party will today anoint a new leader. It's understood that the race is coming down to either Simon Bridges, the previous leader of the party, and or relative newcomer and former chief executive of Air New Zealand, Christopher Luxon, or Chris if you prefer. The caucus meets at 3 p.m. today, and then we'll bring that news to you when they've made a decision. Senior writer for the New Zealand Herald, Simon Wilson, has been pondering the options and joins me now. Kia ora, Simon.
Kia ora, Jesse. Look, I wonder if we could rush the news into them. Angel Olsen and Sharon Van Etten would be great leaders, don't you think?
Yeah, one day. But do they have the real-world experience, Simon?
Do they need real-world experience?
What do you make of the lineup?
Well, I think it's astonishing. We, you know, it's been several days now where the party deliberately gave itself the opportunity to pick a unifying leader, someone they would all get in behind, so that come today, you know, they'd be able to walk into that room and say, "Yes, we've got our new person. You know, we're all thrilled about it, and here we go." And they've actually failed to do that. It's extraordinary, and you know, you can be optimistic from the National side and say it's because they've got a couple of excellent candidates and they can't choose which one is more excellent than the other, or you can take the other way of looking at it and say it's because they know that neither of them is really good enough, or both of them is too much of a risk. You know, they've got a real quandary there.
It's obviously not down to the much-discussed schism between the moral conservatives and the social liberals, because they'd both be at that moral conservative end, wouldn't they?
They both are. It's extraordinary. The party is choosing between two men who have almost nothing between them in terms of their outlook on the world, what they think is important, what they value, what they think is right and wrong. And that's really quite astonishing in itself, that, you know, the party is famously a broad church, or likes to think of itself in that way, but they're not having a broad church election. They're not choosing which way to go on this. It looks as if they're going, which conservative Christian do we prefer, which is surprising.
No farmers in the mix, Simon.
No farmers. Well, there are hardly any farmers in the mix in the National Party in senior ranks, either in caucus or its board of directors at the moment. So, you know, they've got some work to do to get back that constituency, if you like.
Your story in the paper today, the headline, I don't know if you had anything to do with this headline. I think it was Battle of the Blokes. What point were you making there?
I think there are a number of lessons to learn from Jacinda Ardern's accession to the top in the Labour Party, and then her the support that she's managed to develop. And one of the big ones is that when you look at traditional ways of assessing what a good leader is, a lot of those ways point you towards who's the managerial middle-aged man who everyone thinks knows how to do a good job. And the National Party thinks like that very strongly. But they have a number of very competent women in their ranks. My perception of the New Zealand public in general, this is something really different from America, say. I think in New Zealand we are very comfortable with women leaders. We like having women leaders, provided, as I said in my column, they don't do what Judith Collins did, which was appear to have a large knife hidden about her person. as long as you can trust them.
Yeah, I wonder if you're being a bit unfair there. I mean, we have just had 500 days of Judith Collins in charge, and perhaps if any of the female MPs were a little more experienced, they might be in the running. But you were talking mostly about what Erica Stanford and Nicola Willis there. Maybe it's just not their time yet.
They're the obvious two, but I don't know why you would want to say that either of them is less experienced than Christopher Luxon. Christopher Luxon is quite remarkable as a politician. He had a serious career as a business leader. He's been in Parliament only 1 year. If he was to take the leadership now, that would be faster than pretty much anybody else ever. And he spent that year distinguishing himself in pretty much no way at all. He has, you could argue, he's been a loyal servant to the existing leadership. But if Luxon was naturally going to be popular, I think he might have become more popular now, and he would have learned how to do that. All he's really shown us so far as a politician is that he knows how to take Keith Holyoke's advice, which is to spend your first term breathing through your nose. that doesn't make him a leader.
Do you really feel, this is an open question, not a loaded question, but do you feel that those two candidates you talked about, Eric Stanford and Nicola Willis, have as much experience as Christopher Luxon, who's running in New Zealand and run, I think, Unilever, one of those big companies in Canada? Are you suggesting that business experience counts for nothing when it comes to this sort of equation?
I think all experience counts for something, and leadership experience too. But, you know, my view is that, to be honest with you, a good school teacher has lots of relevant experience to be a good political leader. Mm-hmm. I don't think necessarily people who run large corporations have all the right experience, and the obvious reason for that is that if you're the CEO of a large company, you pick your leadership team, you impose the culture you want if you're good enough, and you pick your team, and you are able to move out of authority all the ones you don't like. You cannot do that in politics. You inherit a caucus. You inherit a caucus who have their own agendas, and you have to be able to
work. The more's the pity sometimes, though.
Well, that's just the way it is. So that's one of the reasons there are not many business leaders who become successful politicians around the world. It's pretty rare. And one of the reasons a lot of business people are wary of going into politics, because you can't run it the way you run your company. You know, you need another set of skills, another set of personnel management skills. And it's not that we don't need business leaders in the world, it's just that that's not necessarily inevitably the best thing to look for in a politician.
I can think of one recent example that might disprove that thesis, Simon, which is John Key, obviously.
Oh, well, of course, that's right. I mean, I said that they're rare. I didn't say they didn't exist. You know, but maybe John Key's the exception that proves the rule, because he is so unusual. He was so unusual in that way.
Simon Bridges, second time around. Do you think he'll be better this time if he gets the leadership, or better is the wrong word, more popular, more effective as leader of the opposition?
Again, I think he's one of those. I think Simon Bridges has had every chance to demonstrate that how popular he could be. I find it hard to believe he would become significantly more popular now than he ever has been. You know, some people are fated not to be able to get that support, popular support that you might think. You don't need to be a super popular leader of a party to win an election. You know, Helen Clark's the famous example of that. You know, she became much more popular later. But at the moment, the new leader of the National Party is going head-to-head with David Seymour to try and win those people back. Seymour is clearly very credible and popular, so they're going to have something to match that. Bridges, you know, he's shown that he hasn't shown, with considerable opportunity, he hasn't shown that he has got it. I suspect that weighs on his caucus colleagues' minds, that he's had his chance and it didn't work.
It's looking like it's pretty tight.
I think so. That's an interesting thing in itself, isn't it? So they will, whatever happens, they'll come out and say, look, we're all unified behind the new leader. But they have, as I said at the start, they've demonstrated that actually they're not. they haven't been able to decide.
I see. The Prime Minister just been at a media conference, and she was asked what her message was to the National Party leader. And she says it was to remember how important it is to, quote, focus on the things that New Zealand wants us focused on. Who do you think she and the rest of the Labour Party would most like to get that job?
That's a good question. I find that very hard to answer. I don't know that I'm any better than the National. I'm not any better than the National Caucus at picking who is the more viable leader that they've got when you're looking at Bridges and Luxon. Both of them involve an enormous risk, and both of them come to the position not having an overwhelming support base. And Labour will make the most of that. I imagine I would guess that they don't much mind who it's going to be.
Given that it's probably fair to say people already know Simon Bridges, you might say that the party would be more likely to get an initial bump from Luxon, or is
I
that
think
going too far?
I think they'll get a bump from whoever it is, and it will be interesting to see how much of that bump comes from ACT, and how much of it comes from Labor. They'll get some votes from both or some support from both. But yes, there will be renewed interest and confidence in National after this this leadership election, simply because it became clear that Judith Collins was so divisive and so disruptive, and in the end so untrustworthy for her caucus and therefore more widely. So people will feel, those days are gone now. Things could be looking up, but that doesn't mean very much. They've got a long way to go, an awful long way to go. They've got to be much better, much more popular than they are now, and that means they've got to have a sense of being able to show us that they grasp what's important now. The world has changed. When you mentioned John Key before, you look at John Key. John Key, his extraordinary skill was to make business particular, but the country generally confident. And when you have confidence, people take risks, they do economic things, they employ more people, they invest more, and a whole lot of things flowed from that. But it was a very hands-off sort of approach. Today we have the pandemic, this one and whatever comes after will always be with us. Climate crisis is always with us. We have the gap between wealth and poverty is growing. These things now require active, hands-on political management, and they aren't easy to fix. So a credible party looking to be the government has to demonstrate that it understands those things, that it's moving forward. It's not promising a return to the good old days before any of this happened. And that's the really big long-term work National has to do. It's a much bigger question, deeper question than simply who the leader is, in my view.
Thanks, Simon. I've really enjoyed it. We'll see, won't we? Thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks, Jesse.
You can read Simon's piece on this on the Herald website. He's a senior writer for that publication.